the Tickets video game podcast from Cold Omaha. I'm Henry Bell, and joining me in studio today are Max Hamilton and John Carson. How's it going, guys?
Pretty well. How about you?
Good.
Oh, not too bad. You know, it's been kind of a slow week for news, so I want to get things started with something that I've wanted to do for a little while now, and I think it's a great opportunity. I want to talk about stuff we've been playing this week and just kind of opinions on, you know, games in our back catalog that we're finally getting to, because, you know, there haven't been any real big releases since Arkham Knight, and for us PC gamers or some of us here, you know, we can't play it yet. So I don't know about you guys, but I've been reinstalling a lot of my old favorites. So, John, why don't we get things started with you? What have you been playing this week?
I've actually been playing a couple things that are newer. I downloaded Rocket League on PS4.
I've been hearing a lot about that.
Yep. So it's one of the free PlayStation Plus games this month. I didn't really know what to think going in. I knew that it was soccer with cars.
Sure. Can you just describe it for anybody? I know it's kind of hard to describe, but for anyone who doesn't know what Rocket League is.
So Rocket League, you're a vehicle on a soccer pitch. There's a giant metal ball that you're trying to get into a goal. But you'll have, like, you can do one-on-one, or 1v1, 2v2, 3v3, 4v4 if you want. As you have more people, the action gets a little bit crazier.
Sure.
Your car, you don't just drive it. You can jump with it. You can double jump. You can position your car to kind of hit the ball like you would kick a ball, I guess.
So kind of like with the inside of the car, sort of like the inside
edge.
Yep.
So you can like spin the car and then just like whip the ball towards the goal.
Is the control good? That sounds like, I mean, that sounds like something I could never do in a driving game.
It's weirdly tight.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's kind of hard to explain how the car controls, but it's, you get your hands on it, you start driving around, you start jumping around, and it just feels right.
Sure. It looks real arcadey, which is what I like.
You have so much control. Like, you can, let's say the ball's somewhere in the air. You can use your jump. You can use, you have a rocket boost as well. So you can control your car and kind of fly it towards the ball.
Oh, that's cool.
And then use, your jump again as a double jump and kind of a trick button, to adjust your car in midair to make either saves or hits or.
Sure.
What you're saying is it's a very realistic take on soccer.
Yep, exactly.
Good.
So you can drive up walls, you can drive on the ceiling for a bit.
Actually, this kind of interests me because I am not a fan of soccer games at all, but I do like games like Mario Strikers or like a lot of games that it's like it's not really soccer.
Yep.
It's like soccer without a lot of the boring stuff and penalties and that kind of stuff. So it's more, for me, that's more fun. I like to keep things moving and also like have it not feel like I'm playing soccer necessarily. Yep. And I'm very interested. So I have a question, though.
Yes.
I know it's free on PS Plus, but for us, like, you know, poor PC guys, you aren't going to get it for free. Is it worth $20?
Steam would think so.
Sure. It's interesting because only PlayStation users got it for free, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I'm wondering, like, that's a pretty high price tag.
I don't know for sure. I've played about 4 hours of it. I haven't played with friends.
I
don't know how that works. I've done online matchmaking, which works pretty well. It just automatically puts you into it with a group of people.
What kind of servers are they running?
I heard they're dedicated servers.
Really?
For it? Yep.
That's is that why they had all the, was that what all the drama was about that day, the release day or whatever?
Yeah, the servers were down for multiplayer, like online multiplayer it for a bit. I luckily got in after that had cleared up. I can't really speak to the issues that
people
were having.
Smart enough to be a day one adopter.
Yeah, it was a busy week last week, and I wasn't really sure on the game until I heard more about it. I really like how you'll play a game, you'll finish a game, and at the end it'll give you the option to just ready up for the next round or like vote for a rematch with the same teams.
Sure. That's cool.
Yeah, be like, oh, that was really close. Let's throw down again. Let's see how this works. Otherwise, it'll randomize the teams again.
I like that.
Yep.
You know, I've been playing a lot of Dirty Bomb lately, and they have that kind of a system, and so does GTA 5 and for online. And that is one thing that I do wish they had, is, like, it's so rare to get with, like, a really tight-knit group, like, where it goes really well. And, like, to be able to stick with them and just, you know, let's redo that same map. Let's get revenge or whatever. I think that's such a cool idea.
There's a guy last night that I played with for, like, 4 or 5 games, and we were just winning constantly. So thank you, Bert Favre, for helping carry the team.
It'd be cool to see that feature in more multiplayer games, especially the shooters when you just get trounced by a team and want to go after them again.
It's like you can either vote to be like, all right, our team sucked, but there were good people on both sides. Like, let's try mixing this up again.
Sure.
Or like you felt both teams were balanced, let's just go and play as the same configuration.
Sure.
How long does a game last about?
It's 5 minutes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That makes me like it even more.
Yep. So it's very quick. You're in, out if you just want to play a quick game. After you score a goal, it shows a replay. Like, that's the only stoppage in time there is. If you're tied at the end, they have an overtime. Whoever scores first wins.
Oh, sure. Sudden death.
Yep.
I can dig it. That's cool. Yeah. You know, I may have to actually check out a soccer game for the first time in a while.
I would say for PC owners, like, $20, it would be easier to recommend if it was at, like, 15.
Or if the mod support that they've implied was there yet.
They have some cool customization options in there, though.
Sure, but, like, mutators are not the same thing as a mod.
No, that's true.
But, yeah, but that is cool. I do like those kinds of extra flares. But I think that what I'm getting from you is maybe wait till it's on sale or till there's more content.
I'd say so.
And it is in early access, right?
No, it's a full release? That's full release.
Oh, really? Okay. I guess it came so out of nowhere, and I'm so not used to that. Like, nowadays, you hear about a game is in early access for 3 years before it comes out. Like, I'm shocked, actually.
I've heard about early versions of it going around for a while.
Sure.
But...
okay. I guess I wasn't following it because I just kind of tuned out because it was, you know, not didn't look right up my alley.
Yeah,
but now I'm really intrigued. We'll have to
go watch some videos.
I'm just gonna make you let me play it on your
come on over. I think it's split screen.
Oh, exciting!
Maybe.
See, that is what I'm talking about. Yep. Some couch co-op make me actually want to play a console. That's sweet. What else have you been playing this week?
So also I tried out Styx, the Master of Shadow.
Oh, what'd you think?
Yeah.
The other free PS4 game, right?
Yep. So it was a game that came out on PC a couple years ago.
Yeah, I've played it.
When I started it up, it started going through like the opening cutscene, kind of glitchy in the opening cutscene, like really low frame rate, which was kind of putting me off.
Sure.
And then Styx kept on talking about his dagger, how he had to get to his dagger. Would not stop talking about his dagger.
For those wondering, it's a third-person stealth game.
Yep, you play as a goblin rogue who's somehow captured and is being questioned about elves. And then you're going to escape and find your dagger, which he really likes his dagger. And I got to get my dagger, walked out of the room, and then it froze.
Oh.
And then I'm like, I'm going back to Rocket League on console.
That's rough.
It is a smaller team that was working on it, but also for something that's been out for a couple of years and then bringing it to a console, like you would expect a little bit more.
Sure.
Either polish or like stable.
At least playability wise, you would think it would not freeze right off the bat.
Right. I was kind of like really put off by it. Like, I want to go back and try it.
I've heard some pretty good things about it. I mean, you've played it, right, Henry?
Yeah,
like, is it adequate?
I'd say that is probably the perfect word for it.
Just adequate.
It's not a great game. The story is mediocre. The characters are mediocre. The voice acting is amusing, but mediocre.
It's actually surprisingly good at first. Like, Styx himself
is good,
is...
but it's not like, I'm not like, I need to look up who this voice actor is.
No, but it was... it was surprisingly engaging and not stiff.
It's a solid, like, 6.5 out of 10. I mean, it feels like the developer's first foray into stealth, 3D stealth games.
I've heard it's a bit of an Assassin's Creed-y feel in parts.
I would not agree with that at all. I'd say it feels more like a third-person thief, kind of.
I would almost say, like, Prince of Persia, where you have, like, you do climb walls, but it's more just, like, there's a place to grab on the wall. There's a place to jump
right.
to.
Like,
there's
it makes me think specifically of the newer Thief, where they had like the hook points and stuff
that. Sure.
But yeah, I mean, it's fun, but it doesn't really leave a lasting impression. I'll say that.
No.
And in it, considering I'm pretty sure it came out in the same year ish as like Dishonored and Thief. You know, that's during that glut of during that those two good stealth games.
Yep.
I mean, say what you will about Thief, but it's much better than Styx.
Yeah, I enjoyed Thief.
Yeah, and so you know, I'd probably pass on it if you can get it for free. Check it out, but honestly, I wouldn't recommend.
That's the thing. Like,
out money for it.
I haven't played a stealth game in a while, so I was like, oh, this is free. I'll check it out.
I would go back and just check and see what kind of autosave system they have on console. And if you didn't lose too much, it's probably worth putting another hour or two in just to see if you really.
I could get back to where I was in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, the
so
question is, you know, can you justify those 5 minutes? But yes, it's a fun game if it hits you in the right mood, I think, is the best way to put it. If you're really itching for a stealth game and you have already played the others and you're not a huge fan of, you know, replaying that kind of stuff, or you've already done it recently, it's not a bad game to pick up.
Yep.
But frankly, I'd rather just reinstall like Deadly Shadows or like, you know, some one of the old Thief games if I really wanted.
That might be a little bit more interesting.
Well,
for
and
most.
that I mean, this is being I am being a little bit dramatic with this, but I mean it they look about this. I mean, it is not a great looking game. It really isn't.
Yeah, it was really muddy textures, kind of. Everyone had a little haze around them, which is very odd.
When you realize that the game is like less than 2 years old, it's kind of like shocking. Yeah. It looks like it's like an 06 port or an 08 port, probably. But anyways, are you thinking you're going to go back or are you?
I'll try it again. Sure. But I have more Rocket League to play. I started playing J-Star's Victory versus Plus.
Tell us about
last
that.
Week.
That's the Shonen Jump fighter.
It is. So they take all of your favorite Shonen Jump manga characters, like Goku, Naruto.
It's literally all
Sasuke.
Of them. It's all of them. It's everyone
Luffy.
From Bleach. It's everyone from every mainstream anime, right?
Yu Yu Hakusho, like Yusuke's in there.
So
EA's
it's like a best
there.
Of Toonami is what you're saying.
Right, right. It's best of your childhood.
And that sounds pretty great. How does it play?
It's really mashy. So it's a 3D arena brawler. You have anywhere between one and three characters that you can play with. Usually the other two are controlled by the computer. You're just running around basically a town or some sort of 3D landscape, trying to hunt down your other dudes. And
like, how big of a like is it? Is it an arena or is it like actually like an open world environment? Like is it kind of like the Naruto fights?
It's bigger
than the last Naruto fight.
Yeah,
game?
So it's a bigger arena than the Naruto games.
Okay,
I'm trying to think
like twice as big.
Probably four times as big.
Okay, so it's pretty big. Like, you can lose track of something.
You can.
Okay.
And so like they have lock-on cameras, and they suggest that you use it. And one of the strategies would be getting out of someone's line of sight so they can't lock onto you anymore. But there's really, like, most of the time you're just running up to someone and just mashing a button for a while until you get your super move, and then you just unleash that.
When you okay, you're making me a little nervous because when I hear super move and I want to hear button mashing, and you talk like the words you're using, I feel like you're about to say PlayStation All Stars.
No,
like, it sounds like that to me right now. Can you clarify? What fighter is it most similar to?
Because
it's those Japanese
stuff
you
might not
tend
have
to be
played.
Weird. Okay, give me the most mainstream you can think of.
Dissidia.
Oh God, no. I've heard of it, but I haven't played it. I don't even know what it looks
like.
Jeez,
what would it be?
I mean, I guess I'm maybe a bad person to give these examples to. I mean, is it like the Budokai games or like the Naruto fighting games? Is it like...
So think of it like...
Xenoverse, the new Dragon Ball Z
Yeah,
fighter.
I guess it would be kind of like... Because
that had
those.
Really pretty big arenas.
Yeah,
you could
yeah, big arenas. Yeah,
and
you can jump around and...
Although it didn't have like line of sight type obstacles, which I think sounds like a cool addition. Is it
Battle
fun?
Of Z?
It's button mashy, you use specials.
I've had a good time with it so far, but it's mainly the nostalgia from all the anime characters.
Sure.
Like, oh, I want to go play as Sasuke.
Right. Are the special moves varied and like unique to each character in a good way?
Yep. So everyone has their own super move that's tailored to them. Like Luffy will I think he goes with his no one listening is probably going to know this.
I don't even know who Luffy is.
Luffy from One Piece, he's the Straw Hat Pirate.
No, I don't know who
that is. Has stretchy arms.
Is he the main character?
Yeah, he's the main character.
Oh, okay.
So he basically turns his arms into giant bowling balls and like punches people like 1,000 times.
Anime.
Yeah, it's almost like if
do you not get
Popeye
it,
ate his spinach.
I don't. Honestly, don't get it. But it's, I know I have a lot of friends who really love One Piece in particular, so I'm sure that's really exciting.
I think Goku's is like a spirit bomb or like a giant Kamehameha.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Kamehameha times 1,000 or whatever.
There you go.
Yeah.
You've seen Dragon Ball.
Yo, I don't want to brag, but I know all of the old Toonami animes. It's stuff like One Piece that I'm out of the loop on.
Have you watched Dragon Ball Super yet?
No, I haven't. And frankly, I'm not super interested, but oh, wow. Please.
I see what you did there.
No. Forgive that. It was not intentional.
Super interested.
I'm not extremely interested. I liked what I got out of Dragon Ball Z. I don't think I need to revisit it.
Sure.
I watched Legend of Korra. That's it.
That's a cool show.
I watched the first season of that show. Anyways, look, this is not an anime podcast.
Wait, no, let's make it into one. It's a slow news week.
105 The Ticket anime podcast.
Don't even joke. All right.
Tom will hop
on that. So here's the question. What's the verdict on it?
I'm going to play more.
You're going to play more.
Yeah, I've only
would you recommend it to others? Is it? Would you say it's a good party game, or do you mostly play alone or online? Like what?
Actually, here's a good gauge for it. There's a PC game that just came out. I think it finally released. It's been in beta for a while, called Rise of Incarnates.
Hey, I've heard the title.
So it's a Bandai Namco, basically the same thing. Team-based arena brawler. It's a really big genre in Japan. There's a lot of Gundam games that people just absolutely love. But go play that. It's free to play, as far as
okay.
I know. So
perfect.
Go try that if you like that kind of style. It's a lot of light and heavy attacks, but nuances in their combos when like in your button presses, kind of
yeah,
like a
yeah.
God of War or something along those lines.
Oh, interesting. Not what I expected, but interesting.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So sounds like check out the free version.
Sure.
If you like it,
yep.
then maybe pick up the full game.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
What is it on PC? Is it only consoles? Is it PlayStation exclusive?
J-Stars is only PlayStation 4 and I think PS3.
Okay.
So it's on both of those.
So if you meet that criteria, check it out. Seriously.
Yes, absolutely.
It actually does sound like a lot of fun. And even though I joke a lot
about
how much I know about anime,
stuff,
but you know that you want to check out your favorite guys from the 90s.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know the new ones.
You want Bo fighting against Saint Seiya.
Yes, exactly.
Sure.
That.
I'm not sure what just happened,
yeah.
but okay.
I could go into this whole Bobo
really
thing,
sure, but anyways, let's move it along. Have you played anything else this week, or is that pretty much it for you?
That is it.
Man, that's an interesting week for
yes.
you.
Yes,
three very interesting, slightly out of the box.
That's
games.
What I bring to the table.
Thank you, John.
We appreciate
you're welcome.
It.
Well, Max, I'm
yes.
sure you have three very obvious average AAA titles to recommend.
Absolutely.
So what do you got
guess what I'm going to lead off the bat with.
What's
spoiler
that?
Free, unlike you PC players, I've been playing a lot of Arkham Knight.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Is Batman
right?
in that?
And Batgirl. So that's actually what I did this week. I played
the famous
or infamous Batgirl DLC. So that's the first piece of content with the season pass to have launched. With the main game, I'm still doing some of the side quests and mopping up the Riddler trophies.
Did you get your Michael Keaton costume?
No, that's going to be August, but that does
okay.
that. It's pretty cool that they have two tracks throwbacks to the original movies there. But
that is cool.
Yeah, so the Batgirl DLC, a lot of people, those did not make a debut.
No,
but
I want a Bat credit.
The game should have been free, is what a lot of people are saying. The DLC, excuse me, and you know what? I'm on board with that because it's very short. You can beat it entirely within an hour.
An hour,
right?
What's the asking price?
$7. So you know, there are a few collectibles, but they don't unlock anything.
Do they work towards? Are they needed for that 100% completion? Mm,
I'm not. I believe so. Yeah.
Think so.
Really?
I would imagine
yeah,
not
okay.
only because they can't require you to buy DLC to see the true ending.
Oh
so.
No! I'm sorry. I meant okay. In the main menu of Arkham Knight,
yep.
there is a section called Arkham Stories. So it'll list all the side stories like Harley Quinn and Batgirl and things like that, and they have their own respective percentages.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. It has nothing to do with the overall game.
So you can't play as Batgirl like in
no,
the main
no,
game
no, no.
Right?
So it's
not
a
like
completely
you can play as any character in
no.
the open world.
So it's a completely separate area. It's
bummer.
A prequel to the main story. Basically, mm-hmm. the Joker kidnaps Commissioner Gordon. Gordon gets kidnapped quite a bit throughout the Arkham games. It's amazing that, you know, they just kind of reuse that story over and
no,
over.
To be fair, Gordon just gets kidnapped a lot in Batman.
He's the only one who's
that's,
not like a superhero
fair.
In that crew.
But,
take it you haven't seen the newest Batman.
Ooh, let's stay spoiler free.
Okay.
But someone's not up to date on their comics.
He's no Jimmy Olsen as well.
But
check out Batman comics.
Basically, there's this.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, you're right. I get what you're saying now. All right, cool.
Oil rig that was turned into an amusement park, so Joker obviously has his way with it and makes it all creepy
yeah,
and
yep.
a bunch of goons. There are only two stalking sequences where, you know, you have to sneak around
yep,
and take
yep.
out all
the
guys.
Predator.
There's like three different groups of people to save, and then you go into the final sequence with Joker and Gordon and all that. And, you know, there's some cool stuff. There's a really cool cameo hidden room spoiler alert that I'll avoid, but, you know, some Easter eggs and things like that. But at the end of the day, it's worrying to see what they're going to do with the rest of the season pass. Because I'm hoping they'll eventually expand on the ending, maybe in that sixth month. But, yeah, right now it's a bunch of easy to beat short content and skins and races.
Let's hope that Harley's Revenge is a little
Nope. So my pre-order came with that.
Oh.
Harley's Revenge, you can beat in like 15, 20 minutes.
Okay. Wow.
So
those should have probably been bundled.
Is it just a challenge pack?
No, it's Harley. Kind of it's so Poison Ivy plays a big role in the main story. Mm-hmm. So it's a prequel to the main story where Harley goes and breaks Poison Ivy out of jail in Bloodhaven or wherever it is that Nightwing's from. So, yeah, you go in and crack some skulls and get her out of jail, and that's it. It has no story value or anything like that.
Oh, that's a bummer. You know, that's one thing I'll say. I wasn't a huge fan of all the Catwoman pre-order stuff from Arkham City, but it really – it was like 6 hours of content, and it really, really added to the story. Like, it was – in fact, I'd go so far as to say, like, it should have been included in every version of the game, but it was – you really felt like you would have been missing out if you didn't get it. These just sound like they're trying to make you feel like you're missing out if you don't buy them.
And to be fair, the Harley Quinn one, it was one of the pre-order bonuses.
And I didn't realize that. I thought that was the one that had just been delayed on PC.
That I can't speak to.
I had heard that they were delaying development on the first PC DLC release because of the fact that they're still having port issues.
The other pre-order one was the Red Hood pack where you could play as him in some sort of story mission, but we'll see what happens.
So do any of the – I know there's a lot of different characters in that game, and some of them are playable.
All of the side characters are playable in the game.
Do they play differently?
They all the fighting is the same. They just have different cosmetics and different – items, but honestly, you only play as them in the middle of combat, so it's a very brief experience.
But like something like Batgirl, does she control any differently from Batman?
Nope. Okay. Like, a little bit faster.
Okay.
I mean, would you consider Catwoman to have controlled significantly different from Batman in Arkham City?
Yeah, Catwoman, I will say, because you do play her in Night for bits and pieces. She does control exactly like in City, where it is different from Batman.
Okay,
but as far as
the others are less than that.
The others are almost exact Batman copies, though. It's all in the Bat family. And like Batgirl moves a little faster and stuff, but it's not something you really think about because again, the dual combat is so brief that it's super easy when it's in dual combat
it's
mode
cool
to take down anyone.
Yeah,
it is a cool concept. Yeah. Just could have been expanded upon.
Nice.
Other game, Terraria. I finally listened to Henry, so I got it in a Steam sale. I think last Steam summer sale, actually. Played it a little bit. It wasn't really doing it for me. I have Minecraft, had it at that point, and I was playing more of that. And I finally, you know, Henry was telling me how many hours he sunk into it. What was it, 800 about, more or less?
Probably between 8 to 1,000. Like,
so,
it's bad.
So I was like, I didn't get that vibe from when I first played it. So I plugged it in over the weekend. I was just going to tinker around for 10 minutes or so. Ended up sinking 10 hours that day.
Yep, sounds
about
right.
Yep. And I dig it. Like, just the randomness, the variety.
Now
I see
what you did there.
Oh, well, okay. Yep, fair enough. But it's a mining game. I get it. But no, I'm having a blast with that. Still doing kind of just an easy playthrough, a small map, exploration focused, you know, so I'm not losing items or my progress.
Sure.
No, really enjoy it. So are you still ever sinking time into that with that new update that finally came out?
I have not checked out the new update yet, but I did reinstall the game. I have a friend who I just finished helping build like a brand new gaming machine. And
okay.
I figured no better way to test his new 980 than with Terraria. So
you know, now that I'm into it,
pixels.
I got excited about the other games like Starbound and Terraria Otherworld. Do you thoughts on either of those?
Yeah, Starbound is a waste of time and money.
I liked it.
Terraria, yeah, but I mean, did you play Terraria extensively?
I played it enough to be dangerous with it, but not to the extent that you did.
I mean, did you play it enough to fairly judge both it and Starbound and say which you think
I think
is
I've
worth
actually
playing.
Played Starbound more.
Dang.
Yeah.
You must not have played very much Terraria.
It never clicked with me
cuz like not that much to do in Starbound.
I hammered away at that for a bit and it never really sunk its claws into me. And then when Starbound came out kind of gave me that sci-fi element like going jumping to different planets and it was really early in early access too that I tried it.
I guess
and for some reason like I was just digging to the middle of planets, exploring, like, prisons and stuff like
that.
Did
you ever get that far into Terraria where you were digging to the center of the Earth and stuff?
Not really.
So you really didn't play very much.
No.
Okay. Then, fair enough. I would say if you are, like, someone like John who really, really loves sci-fi stuff, then maybe. But it's, like, I really did not like it. And I love two-dimensional survival games like that. I love them.
Isn't there one called, like, Edge of Space?
I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, the only two-dimensional survival game that's really worth its salt is Terraria, because they've done so much more than any other.
I thought you were going to say Batman for the NES.
That's not a survival game. But
just
try.
Just try, man.
But yeah, you know, I don't want to completely condemn Starbound, but I was extremely disappointed. I had hoped that it would be anywhere near what Terraria was, and it's just not. The combat might be a little better, but I think that I don't like any of the alien races. I think they're really dumb. I choose the bird race because they're the closest
bird
to a cool
one. Bird race is pretty
cool. Yeah.
Yep.
And
robots.
The enemies, it's cute that the enemies are like combination, randomly combined. So it's like each world is different enemies, quote unquote. But there's like three types of enemy, and they all behave exactly the same.
Okay.
And
yep.
Like there's almost no content for the game. There's no real goal. Like Terraria has bosses and goals to meet and more gear and items and upgrades than you can shake a stick at. And Starbound is just empty.
I heard they radically changed Starbound.
I played it like 3 months ago trying to get back into it because everybody I shouldn't even say everybody, because people, like I have one other friend like you who really, really liked Starbound and wasn't a huge Terraria fan. It's not everybody.
I know. I'm just...
But, you know, I just still couldn't get into it. I just couldn't give a damn. They had added in all of the new quests and stuff like that, and it was supposed to give you more purpose and stuff, and I didn't feel the purpose. I still didn't like the combat. I still felt directionless. And, like, also, there's something that just doesn't jive to me about, like, building fires in a sci-fi game. Like, it just doesn't – it's just weird.
Yeah, it was weird. Like,
on a ship and you get teleported to a planet. Yeah, and you're using, like, knives. And it's just like, this is goofy at best. Torches. Also, every time you shoot something with a hunting bow, it drops meat, and that's the only way to get meat, which is real dumb.
Yeah, that's weird.
I don't know. I wasn't a fan of the mechanics. Personally, I don't think it's worth the investment, and they have not done anywhere near the updates or progress that they've made on Terraria. I mean, Terraria's huge, has been in development for like 6 years or something now, and is just like one of the most polished games I've played in a long time. And as far as post-release support goes, you're getting so much bang for your buck with that game. I'd say you still have hundreds of hours left in Terraria. Don't worry about Starbound right now, but I think Starbound is something I'd tell people to wait for it to actually release if it ever does.
Because the
development has been very slow on it, and there's just not a lot there. I think it was announced too early.
It's very similar. So
that's kind of how it caught my
attention. It's basically the same game, but a little worse in every way. Yeah. I mean, all the controls handle slightly worse. Like, it's a little less tight. The combat, you could argue, is a slight improvement, but I think that it actually does itself less favors. Like, it is literally it feels like it came out. It feels like it was in production before Terraria is probably the best way to put it. And that's weird because it's like half its age.
Yep.
Anyways, you play anything else this
week? Yeah, well, I've been playing a heck of a lot of Hearthstone and just been doing that nonstop. Struggling in the ranked mode this time around. I got to 18 and now I'm sitting back at 20.
Oh, rough.
Got some pretty good card packs, though. Got Ysera finally, which I was excited about
because
owning with that. And Big Game Hunter. But other than that, we had before the show been talking about the Tavern Brawl mode. And I like that they give you the free card pack every week, but it's, not balanced at all, which I get is the point of it, but this week has just been terrible.
What is, this is the birthday or whatever one, right?
This one I think they just, throw random, epics and legendaries into your hand, right? Or something like that?
It's
just packed full of, I only played one round of it, and that is what appeared to be happening.
Sure.
Is everyone had a bunch of oranges and purples.
I really liked last week's, every time you cast a spell, summon a random minion with that mana cost. I had a blast playing
that.
That
was more balanced, too, because it kept both players kind of in an equal ability to get similar
cards. I feel like every class more or less had the same potential there. It was more about how you built your deck, whereas with some of these legendary ones, it just feels like a gimmick where you just kind of have to do like three of them until you luck into a win.
Right. Do you go in with your pre-created deck in those ones?
I think it
depends on the week?
Yeah, it depends on what actually their their rules for the week are, but you do have to have a deck created with a level 20 character to play it
to be eligible.
You do have to be 20.
Yeah, to give you an idea though, one week your entire deck, every single creature was a 1/1 spider that when it its death rattle is summon a random or put a random beast card in your hand.
Okay.
And so That was the only creature card in the deck, best as I can tell, and all you did was choose your class for that week. Oh, whereas last week, you chose your class, and then you built a deck from the cards you own, and then there was just one additional special rule.
That Spider one kind of sounds fun.
That was one of the ones I did not have a blast doing because
it seems like that one would take forever.
Well, it's the problem is that everyone who plays a hunter just has a massive advantage, like a really unfair massive advantage, and so
which it's kind of cool though because you got to look at the rules and think like, all right, which character would be best suited to cope with this.
That sucks for me though because the way I like to play Hearthstone is that I'm not forced to play the classes I don't like.
Right, and that the whole point is just kind of a mode to goof around with, not...
To me, it's just one more chance at more cards, so I can't complain.
Fair enough.
But...
Yeah, that's been about it. I guess Apple had a bit of a mobile sale, I think over the 4th or a little bit before or after that, but I picked up a few games there. Spartan Assault, the Halo game, I got to say, for a twin-stick shooter, the first one I did not like at all. The second one definitely has me itching to play the Halo 5 game when it releases. I'm excited.
I've only played the first one, I guess, actually. Okay. And I liked it, although I felt that it was a little boring. It was fun, but it was good for a mobile, an originally developed for mobile game.
I will say that the Spartan Strike one, it's a flashback in parts to Halo 2, so you're replaying some of those missions, but from different perspectives.
Oh.
And it's supposed to be like you're on the Infinity, I think, and doing kind of simulator missions. But honestly, whether the last one seemed like you kind of just had to stay in one area and survive rounds or just like you weren't really out and about exploring much. This one has actual missions, all the weapons and grenades and some vehicle play and things like that and a decent story. So for half off, it's not bad.
That is pretty sweet. I'm going to have to check and see if the sale's still going now that I got paid.
Yeah, well, it might work on your. I mean, they have a Surface version. So
but I doubt Windows 10 had the same sale. Like, and honestly, I don't buy anything.
I think it's
off
like
the Windows Store,
$5 or something.
Well, and
like,
I don't have. Well, usually you don't have to buy it off the Windows Store necessarily.
Is
either.
That on Steam as well?
That's what I was going
to
say.
I feel like
I'm pretty sure those games are released as applications and apps.
Yeah. But yeah, what about you, Henry? What have you been playing?
Wow, that was wonderful. Let's see.
Well, Tom's not here to do our transitions.
Yeah. Yep. I played a couple things this week. Mostly, yesterday I had a day off, and I took that opportunity to reinstall Shadow Warrior, the remake, which I'm a huge fan of. I love that game.
I actually have that installed. I need to play it.
You have not played it before?
No, tell me more.
So it's a first-person shooter slash fighter. You have a katana that has all kinds of like special abilities, like magic, chi abilities.
Okay.
And then you also have spells you can cast with your chi, and then you also have guns. And you're fighting humans, demons, more demons. I mean, it's really like it's very much sort of it's basically just like the old Shadow Warrior games, if you ever played any of those. It's a really mediocre shooter with really good melee elements.
Okay.
And,
that's hard to do.
Doesn't it
kind of
have a cult following to an extent?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Mostly because it was a classic back in the day.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's up there. It's up there listed with like Rise of the Triad, Return to Castle Wolfenstein, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
It's from that era.
I think a sequel was recently announced.
Yes,
as well,
it was. So. And I saw some footage from the new one. Or I can't remember if I saw footage or if it was just specifically what they had promised. But I remember them talking about having proper decapitation and like cutting off limbs and stuff, which is something that is my one complaint about the game is that like sometimes you'll swing the sword. They make such a big deal out of like your control over which like where the sword is swinging from and like how you're swinging it, and then you'll like do a slice from like bottom left to top right, and they're like bottom right leg will fly off, and it's just like I don't know how that
how do you control that with the mouse?
What it is it's kind of Skyrim or like Elder Scrolls-esque, where like if you're moving in a direction, as you start to hold down the like charge attack button, it will like change what stance you're doing it from.
Okay.
So like if you do it backwards, it's a bottom left to top right cut. If you are moving forwards, it's like an overhead chop.
Okay.
And it's that kind of thing. And then
that's
you also
neat.
Have all the special moves, like you can stab with like holy light, or you can, my personal favorite is the shockwave move, where you double tap back and then use the like special button, and it charges up like an arc beam that you shoot out of your sword, and it like cuts through everybody in the way. It's a lot of fun. It's the kind of game that I'd throw on like some Netflix on, you know, in the background and just kind of have fun playing through it. The story's forgettable, but the characters are funny. I love the intro. If you want to hear, you know, like a super stereotypical 80s kind of dude singing I've Got the Touch, it's pretty great for that.
Yeah, you showed me that before the recording here, and it was awesome.
It's pretty good tongue-in-cheek stuff, and it's kind of what I was telling John earlier was, like, this is kind of what I wanted out of the Duke Nukem era characters. Like, I don't need to see more Duke, but this is a better take on it that's not quite so dated, shall we say.
You know, relevant Duke comment, just throwing it out there, that I believe Gearbox and Randy Pitchford mentioned that all they're waiting for is the right developer to come along and do splitsies on it.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm curious, does anyone want another Duke Nukem game?
I don't know if I do, but who would you even want to be that developer? Do you want a
Monolith?
Do you want
maybe,
Duke
like
Nukem a Telltale adventure?
Oh no!
Don't give them ideas.
Oh God, that would just be the most offensive game
made. I want a Fulbright Duke Nukem where you just wander through a police station.
I mean, Rocksteady needs something to do now, right?
But so they did say that they are working on a prototype, and they're interested in being approached or whatever. I don't know if it's all like just kind of
they're soliciting people for interest
Exactly. And I'm fairly certain that they're going to have trouble getting backing after the massive flop that was Duke Nukem Forever. So
if they could do another Brothers in Arms instead, I'd be cool with that. They were supposed to be doing that, what, Furious 4? That they announced
That looked cool.
And then it turned into Battleborn, I believe.
I think you might be right. I didn't follow that super closely, but that's not too bad.
Right.
But besides that, I was also, let me just think here. Let's see. I played plenty of Hearthstone.
Good, man.
I do the opposite, though. I was not excited when I got my Alexstrasza a week ago because I hate legendaries kind of in Hearthstone. Unless it's like, you know, Antonitis or something where you get like just some amazing overpowered ability. I think it's much smarter to disenchant it and get four rares. I got two Argent Crusaders, which are, you know, they can attack the turn they come into play, and they have the Divine Shield, so they can absorb one hit of any amount.
Divine Shield.
Yep, and it's a 4/2. It's such a good creature. And then I also got two, I believe they're 4/5 taunt Divine Shields, which are, it's just like
Sunwalker is like
Sunwalker. And so I got a pair of Sunwalkers and a pair of the Argent Crusaders, I think they are, and put them in literally every single one of my decks, both play sets. Like, and to me, that's so much more valuable than the crazy goofiness of when this card comes into play, set you or your opponent's life total to 15.
What's your favorite dirty trick or like card combos that you shoot for?
Well, I play a really mean priest. so like my very favorite thing is to drop like the Mogushun Warden, who's a 1/7, then drop one or two Divine Shields on him, then drop a Divine Spirit. So Divine Shield gives +2 toughness and you draw, or +2 health and you draw a card. Then I like to use Divine Spirit, which doubles its toughness. And then I'll either use my Battletide Alchemist, which switches attack power and toughness, or I'll use my Inner Fire, which makes your power equal to your toughness.
You know what I like to do with that?
I'll just hit people for like 46 damage in one swing.
Give it to a character with Wind Fury too, when the other team knows they can't do anything about it.
I don't play Wind Fury because I think that it creates too obvious of a target. I much prefer the Mogushun Warden move because I can do all that for like 5 to 6 mana.
Right.
In one turn. So I'll get it out there. It'll lose its summoning sickness. And then, with all these misused words, you can tell I play Magic. But, you know, he can attack. Once he can attack and they have not, you know, they don't think he's a threat, that's when you can just, like, take him down the second you play something with Wind Theory.
I recently became a fan.
Like, nope.
Of the guy who, as soon as he takes damage, multiplies himself. I'm totally drawing a blank on his name.
Oh, it's like the Dark Brew.
He's a
Iron Dwarf of some kind.
I have two of them. Often I get them at the same time, and I just multiply.
I don't even know. Do you know what someone did to me? Okay, here's a really good combo. Somebody did this to me this week. They dropped the warrior card that gives, or actually I think it's a neutral, the orc that gives creatures with power of 3 or less haste. What is the term in
charge?
Thank you. It gives them charge, and then he dropped one of those. And I'm trying to remember, how did he do this? He was able to ping his creatures. He ended up having like 15 to 20 dudes in one turn, and they all were able to attack me. Because basically he would just, he cleared, I had like a full board, and he cleared my entire board, and every time they took a hit and lived, it spawned another one that also had charge. It was actually one, but that was an insane match.
It's cool too, though, like how well balanced the game is, because I had my whole opponent's field cleared and I had mine entirely lined with that guy, and they play one card and it can wipe your field.
That's what I did. He played a ghoul that had a death rattle of deal one damage to all minions, and then I dropped a Holy Nova and just like cleared a full board on his side with five mana cards.
And we realize how cool we sound right now.
Yeah, so. Well, I mean, look, if you're tuning in, you probably know what Hearthstone is. You know, we want to make sure that the people who do know can also be engaged. But let's see, I played Hearthstone, I played Shadow Warrior, I played some more Grand Theft Auto 5 online, because my good friend that I talked about earlier, who just got his new gaming computer, he just picked it up so that we could play together, and oh my god, that game is so much more fun when you're playing with your friends.
Yes.
Like, it's night and day. I mean, it's not even, I know I always, I like to say that, you know, waiting for the bus with your friends is more fun, but it really is like a huge difference. I basically was having not any real fun with it until I started playing with a friend, and now it's like it's great.
I still kind of feel that way with the online mode. I haven't played for about a month now, but do you find when you're playing online that it is easier for you to now get into like a full match with players, or are you waiting around a lot?
Well, neither. I mean, since I'm playing with my buddy, we generally try to just do two person just like jobs. We're not really trying to do heists, because randoms just ruin it. I mean, honestly, we'll start a mission with three randoms and the two of us, five people, and he and I will finish the mission solo before they even get to the first objective.
Okay.
Like, it's just people are so misguided. They're trying to kill each other and just mess around all the time, and it's just they're wasting all the team lives.
Like, I would struggle to get into a full team deathmatch or race or any of that stuff. Just it seems like it's poor matching, at least on the Xbox One.
It's not great, but on PC you don't really notice that kind of stuff, because you can just open up another tab and stuff like that. Like, usually I'm just watching something or I'm playing Hearthstone on my phone while I'm waiting to get in. So I can't speak to that specifically, because I'm pretty patient for that kind of stuff, but there definitely are still like longer than there should be queue times, definitely. And I played one other thing this week, and I'm trying to remember. Oh, yes, of course, Dirty Bomb. Played more Dirty Bomb. That game continues to, I love it. It's probably my favorite first-person shooter, multiplayer FPS that's come out in, I don't even know how long. I mean, I really don't like multiplayer first-person shooters for the most part, unless they are very arcadey or, like, you know, deathmatchy or that kind of thing. But this really scratches my enemy territory itch.
Miss that game.
I love all of the different enemy territory spinoffs. I'm a huge fan of, like, Battlefield 1942 and that kind of stuff. And so,
is it on a big scale like that?
No. The biggest match size, I think, is 8v8.
Okay.
But the objectives are like that, and the classes are like that.
Okay.
So, like, the medic defribs people and, like, is better at healing, and it has the only healing abilities, but is not the only one who can res, but she can resurrect people, you know, 10 times faster or whatever. And the proxy, who has grenades and stuff like that, or she has mines, rather, she's able to plant C4 faster. And, she can repair faster. It's the Nader who can use the C4 faster,
Ralph.
She has a grenade launcher.
Okay, gotcha.
Actually, it's a girl. But I get it. Ha. I see what you did
dumb
there.
Puns.
That was wow. anyways, though, so yeah, Dirty Bomb continues to be good. One of you guys needs to just get that. It's free. Just get it. You can jump into a game with me. And
that costs too much.
It's a lot of fun.
I can't afford that.
Seriously, I don't think it's even that big of a download.
I prefer to pay a premium. And then
if you really want to, they have microtransactions.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh,
I'll sign up.
I have not been bothered at all by their microtransaction system. It's how you get different loadouts, but you get the cases that the loadout cards are in, I think, now every time you win a match. It seems like it. It's like 50% of the games you play, you get a free card, and you can use the in-game currency to buy cards. You get about 200 currency a match, and I think it's 1,000 to get a card. The big thing is you have to unlock. There's a free rotation, like in like a MOBA, of classes you can play, but then you have to unlock them individually otherwise. So like this week they just changed the rotation, so for the first time I get to use my only silver loadout card.
So you can either buy loadouts with or buy classes?
No, they're the class. Yes and no. You can buy both. They're both things
but,
you can buy.
But you can do them with in-game currency.
Yes, everything in the game can be gotten with in-game currency. that's, literally everything.
I'm all for games having, tell. Like, if you want to purchase a character, cool. But if you want to, like, unless they have a way to play the game and then purchase the character through in-game means.
Yes,
like,
which they do.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I think it's, like, that's where it gets pricier, though. Right now I'm saving up for the cheapest, which is $30,000. Mm-hmm. I was saving for the cheapest. Then I found out there's a melee specialized guy with a sword, and so I want him, but he's $50,000. So I've been saving for about a week of playing it very casually. I've probably played about 20 matches in, like, a week and a half. And I am just about at $30,000. So it's really pretty fair. It's not unreasonable. It's great to jump in with. I've been having a blast playing it with my little brother. It's fun, seriously. If you like multiplayer FPSs with, like, real teamwork, you know, required, then check it out. I highly recommend it.
Is it on Steam? I'm sorry.
Yes, it's free to play on Steam. I don't know if it's going to be coming to consoles or not, but it's still in beta right now.
I
so
haven't heard, but
adding it to my Steam account now.
We'll report back.
Yeah, it's very good. Anyways, yeah, we can talk more about that later. But I think that pretty much wraps up what we've been playing this week.
You know, one thing that might deserve a brief mention in the spotlight. I played a little Heroes of the Storm.
Oh,
so I'm digging it. I played a little League of Legends and whatnot, but this one's holding me. It's a little, you know.
When you say you've played a little League of Legends, that's a very
I would say around 10 hours total,
okay,
but
so very,
it just it
oh,
did,
so
yeah,
that
yeah
is
very little,
like
yes.
like a minuscule.
But no, I spent the weekend kind of digging into Heroes of the Storm, and I don't know that it'll hold me past level 12. I'm just going for that Hearthstone card back, which is pretty awesome. But we'll see. I like it.
I think,
you know,
I got that by accident.
It's got an easy entry level, and you know
who are you playing as?
Well, it does switch off a bit, but I am digging the guy from Diablo, the
Diablo.
Butcher. No, not the
Butcher. Yeah, he
no,
just got added.
No,
oh, yeah.
The one with his guts hanging out. Why am I totally
Abathur,
drawing?
Abathur? Or no, not Abathur. No. He's talking about oh God, what is his name?
He's got like three arms.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm completely blanking now. It's
starts with an S. It's like, is it
with an S? Oh, now I've got no idea. Anyways, though.
I'll find out.
You're talking. I know who you're talking about. But, right. Yeah. So, are you finding
Stitches.
It to be more accessible? Oh, is it Stitches?
Yes, Stitches.
Oh,
he's right.
Warcraft.
Stitches.
That's,
oh,
he's
well,
Warcraft.
I don't play Warcraft. He looked like a Diablo character.
Yeah, he looks like the Butcher, kind of. Like, if he had an apron on.
I did correct
and
myself.
And it was a cartoon character.
I wasn't the Butcher.
Yeah,
regardless, it, you know, I like it. It is much more accessible. I feel like, at least in the matches I've played, people aren't terribly cooperative, and maybe it's because we're all novices that don't know what we're doing.
Yeah,
maybe I'm the one that's not cooperating. I don't know.
Keep in mind the matchmaking for that game is pretty darn good, so you're getting matched with people of your skill level. So
I suck.
Well, no, you're just new to it. So as you play more, you'll get you know a better teams and stuff. But also, you know, you don't really need for casual play. You really don't need team coordination in that game, which is kind of my favorite thing. I have allied chat turned off when I play that game because it's
you don't
the
need
only,
it.
The only way I can play a MOBA is if there's a 0% chance of someone ruining my entire
yeah,
night.
No one's gonna give you
by
crap.
Being a jerk. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I have all chat turned off, and I have a lot of fun just jumping in and doing one daily quest every day or two, you know.
Also, the way the game plays, like they have those objectives on the map. You could just go and like
do your thing,
just focus in on that. Learn your character as you play, and then go push some towers. And
that's the thing. Obviously, it's a rotating set, so I'm saving up to actually purchase a character.
Yeah. And that actually, just to reiterate, I think I've mentioned this once before, but that's my biggest sticking point with Heroes of the Storm. The champion prices, the hero prices, are pathetically expensive. I mean, they should be ashamed of themselves.
It's like $10.
They're it's to like $10 per character, yeah. And there's like 30 characters. I mean, it's nonsense. Yeah.
So there, it sounds almost like the Disney Infinity model, you know, where you have to pay a ridiculous amount to have access to all the content.
I mean, no, it's the League of Legends model. It's literally the League of Legends model, but with higher priced characters. It's sort of I get what you're getting at, but the big difference being you can actually buy stuff with in-game currency. So,
okay.
I mean, the fact that you can unlock them without spending money, I think, gives it an edge over something like Infinity or Skylanders. Then again, I'm not, you know, I haven't actually played those extensively enough to say if there's any digital only characters or something. But
no, not
I would presume
not in
there.
It's all in the figures.
Yeah, exactly.
But also, then you have a cool figure to look at. Yeah, yeah, I said it.
Anyways.
I have like 12 amiibos and I've barely done anything with them. So
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you have a Wii U?
I do.
Do you not regret it yet?
No,
I
bought it
Wii
day
U.
One.
Are you kidding me? He yells at me all the time when
I can
try
play
to make
Earthbound
jokes
on
it,
and that's amazing.
I need to play some Smash Bros.
It's really good.
Can people who have like Wiis get the new Earthbound since it's digital?
No, it's Wii U only.
Really? That's kind of annoying. I mean, that's kind of lame considering it's an emulated version of an NES game.
It's a... Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah, that's only Wii U.
Earthbound Beginnings?
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of nonsense, but whatever.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I guess it makes sense. I
think they stopped doing just regular Wii Virtual Console games.
See, that to me, that seems almost worse than, like, Microsoft's new, like, we're not going to force you to not release, like, terrible re-release versions of your, you know, 360 games, but you can make backwards compatible stuff.
Does anybody else find it weird that Prototype came out this week when they could have just waited for... the whole, like, backwards compatibility thing to happen on Xbox One?
Prototype?
Prototype 1 and 2.
$50 on the consoles right
now.
That's
actually, I'm going to be honest, I'm okay with that.
No, I'm fine with that, but it's really weird that they didn't.
They did say that they claim it's an HD remake.
That would be worth
it
because those are kind of aged-looking games, but also...
I hear it still looks pretty aged.
Yeah, well, the other thing is, though, those games are great. Like, I love the Prototype games. And,
I never got the chance to play one, so
I'd say
I want
they're,
to, but $50 is steep.
They are the closest... Gosh, I'm trying to think. I want to make sure I don't have to eat these words later, but I'd probably say they're the closest thing I've played to Spider-Man 2 since Spider-Man 2, and I really enjoy that. It definitely... Some of the wear shows, but, like, it's an overall really well-done game, I think. Yeah. I liked it a lot, although... Since I didn't get to play Infamous, it's possible that was just scratching that itch for me, the open-world superhero game.
Infamous plays a lot differently than those kinds of games.
Well,
so.
But I'm saying it was scratching the open-world superhero itch
sure.
that I get, because I love, you know, I love the whole concept. I liked skateboarding on the power lines just as much as I like running up the side of a building.
Yep.
Although, nothing can beat sprinting up the side of the building with a civilian in your hand and just throwing them as far as you can off of, like, a New York skyscraper.
You climb to the top of the...
What are the odds we get a... remaster of that Spider-Man 2? How great would that
zero,
be?
We have a
0%
chance.
Zero.
Unless they start like bringing forward Xbox.
Well, I think the first
like
signs
the
are if
Xbox
Activision
games.
Starts becoming the worst company ever again, then we'll know that they're going towards that. Because that was from that era, wasn't it?
Once they ruin Tony Hawk 5, then I'll know.
Have
that
you guys
worse.
Seen, actually, speaking of, I'm not sure if we were going to touch on this, but I would like to mention, did you guys see the screens of Tony Hawk 5?
Does not look good.
It looks like a PSP game or something. I mean, or a PS Vita game. I mean, it looks rough.
It looks a lot like the HD remake that they made like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. The one that was like completely terrible.
Right. And like...
That was worse than the original.
Yeah.
I'm very concerned because Project 8 is probably in my top 10 favorite games, and I love the old school Tony Hawk stuff.
Right.
I hate
those
skate.
Are some of my favorite games.
And so I'm very nervous.
I am too. It's the same people who did the second one or like who did the HD remake.
Oh, really?
It's Robomoto. So
great.
There was something that felt really off about just grinding on rails, like the timing was completely off. Everything looked weird, and it kind of looks to be the same thing here.
That's troubling. Although I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt and say that with something as mechanically intensive as a skateboarding game, maybe they work on the mechanics first, and these are mostly placeholder.
I would hope
graphics.
So. Even if the graphics aren't the best, like as long as if it plays well.
Yeah, frankly,
I'll be happy.
I'm not gonna lie. I go back and play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater on the original on N64 every once in a while. So, like, graphics don't really matter to me in a skateboarding game, but it would be a bummer if they are going to ask for $60.
Yeah.
Anyways, I guess that's still early enough in development that we can still hope for the best. All right, well, I'm going to wrap up what we've played this week. That was a lot of fun, but let's move things along. Actually, we had some really sad news this week. Yep. Satoru Iwata, the president and CEO of Nintendo, passed away from, it was a growth on his bile duct. It's cancer, basically. We've known he was sick for a couple years now. He missed E3 2014 for actually surgery, he must have relapsed or it must not have taken. But, there's been some really, really touching posts by a lot of his fellow Nintendo employees and even just other people in the industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, definitely a real loss. For those who don't know, one of the reasons this is such a huge deal is because Nintendo isn't like a lot of Western companies. Satoru, I believe, is only the fourth CEO of Nintendo.
Something like that. And it's a... You count it on your hand.
Yeah, and from what I understand, I'm pretty sure he's, like, the first that's not from, like, the same family that yeah. was, again and again, being the CEO. So, like, this was a huge deal. He had, you know, he did the Nintendo Direct stuff. He did Iwata Asks, which was him interviewing game developers, like, within Nintendo. I mean, he really brought... I feel like he was the humanizing side of Nintendo, which is really going to hurt because a lot of people see Nintendo more and more like a very typical Japanese corporation where it's very, very about the business and success, making money and that kind of thing, you know, profit margins. And he always kind of brought the fun. I don't know. How did you guys, you know, you guys have any thoughts on this? It's just really sad. I don't know. I don't have a ton to say about it, unfortunately.
Yeah, there's a lot of things about Iwata's career that I didn't know until this week. My favorite game of all time is Earthbound, and apparently he's the person who made that game possible.
It was
very broken before it released, and he rolled up his sleeves and recoded a lot of it to make it even work. Also, he did in Pokemon Gold and Silver. He used to work for HAL. Which was
right.
they made Kirby,
Smash Bros.
He was apparently the director of Melee.
Oh wow!
Or like he worked like he was very close on Melee. He actually transitioned into his president role while Melee was still happening, or being made.
Sure.
So, yeah. But I mean, just his influence on games like Earthbound, on the Pokemon series. He made the whole first continent available in Pokemon Gold and Silver.
My favorite versions yep. for that exact reason. Yep.
So he did a lot of amazing things for the game industry. It seemed like he was very well loved. Never really heard anything bad about him. So we'll miss his contributions.
Yeah, I'm just glad we got to see Puppet Iwata before he passed yep. because that really that's how I'm going to remember him yep. is as the really fun-loving, out of the box kind of trying new innovative ideas and just being really creative and goofy all the time.
Yep.
Like I'm going to miss watching him point his hands directly at the screen again and again.
I'm doing it right now.
Good for an audio podcast.
Yep, they can tell. They know.
Anyways.
But no, it'll be interesting to see where things go from here, who takes his place, and
yeah.
What becomes of the company, you know, if they keep kind of the same direction and fun attitude or lock things up a bit.
We will all be watching with bated breath to mm-hmm. see what the future of Nintendo holds. But, you know, for now, he will be missed, and, you know, just thoughts go out to any of those affected by this. Yeah. Moving on, let's try and get things a little bit more positive here. We've had some interesting, we've got some interesting little news tidbits for you guys this week. There wasn't any hugely massive news outside of Iwata passing away. We can start out with League of Legends has had some interesting problems this week. I want to start out with, I was just reading an article today about, from a pro league player, talking about the new champion. Apparently, the new champion has an ability, like one of his normal abilities is to be able to temporarily swallow an ally,
yep.
and it protects them from damage, so like you have to attack him instead of them. And the pro player is blaming Riot and saying that they've deliberately introduced a hero or a champion for trolls. basically, because
good.
It's really I was watching some YouTube videos of it afterwards, and people are literally just like, eating people, walking like into enemy turrets and dumping them out, or
that's
like
great.
You'll be about to get a killing blow and they'll just eat you
oh,
and
that's
walk
so
away.
Good.
And like, so it's amusing, it's very trollish, but I thought it was kind of funny too because don't League players have like one main joke, which is that there already is a troll champion, Teemo?
Oh yeah, yeah.
He who drops poisonous invisible mushrooms.
There's a new troll in town.
Yeah, exactly, and it ain't Trundle.
Nope.
Anyways, though, so that was amusing, and that's not the end of the League zaniness this week. There was a massive bug or exploit, I guess, in mm-hmm. the newest patch that reduced Recall, which is the ability that it's a very important ability to all MOBAs, that over a certain period of time you channel a casting spell that teleports you back to your base where you can heal up and buy items and that kind of stuff.
And usually that takes like
5-6 seconds.
Yeah, just enough time where you need to get it somewhere safe.
Yes, you're very exposed. Yep. And so you can do it instantly right now with every champion. Oh. I saw awesome video of one champion, Skarner, whose ultimate ability allows him to, he basically lassos an enemy and drags them along the ground. And somebody lassoed a guy fighting dragon, then recalled instantly, and the guy got killed by the portal. The place where you heal has automatic protections over it that will kill any enemy that comes too close. And so
I really like that it pairs up like that, that it combos.
Right, that it doesn't break
awesome.
The channeling or his other abilities.
Are there characters that I don't know how much League you've played, Henry?
A lot.
Okay. Are there any characters that can teleport other champions?
Yes. Teleport other champions? Yes and no. I mean, it kind of depends on what you consider teleporting, because there's a couple that, you can move two allies or pull allies to you, I'm pretty sure. But
could you do that kind of thing with that chain?
No.
Okay.
That was not intended. No. I don't think that at all.
I'm just
making
new
law
strats right
now. I would
now.
Imagine if you could do a teleport with a champion, it would be short range. But no, okay. I don't okay. think you can. I think that there might be – I know that True Fate's ultimate, or I don't know if they've changed it since then, but back in the day it used to let him teleport anywhere on the map, so he was a really good ganker.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that's been patched or – I know that doesn't apply in that yep. exact way. So
that has to break the game quite a bit then.
Yeah, they've completely taken down ranked matches. And I'm not sure if they're back up yet since I'm not a super avid player, yep. but people are mostly taking this in good humor, I think. Most of the posts I saw on it were, oh, thank God I can have a night where I don't have to play ranked.
Yep. This is one of the few times I've heard of something like this happening with League.
It's interesting you should say that, because it's actually pretty normal for them to have – lot of bugs in the client when they release new updates. Yep. Normally what they do, though, is they disable individual champions that the bugs are affecting.
Okay.
But this is one of the rare instances where the bug affects literally every champion.
Yep.
And some more than others, like Skarner.
Yep.
And so, I don't know, it's kind of funny. They had to take the ranked servers down. The regular, casual play, which is all I do anyways, is still up. So,
yeah.
You know, it's not the end of the world.
Just have some fun with it until that goes back up.
Exactly. I would recommend trying to get into as many random matches as Skarner as possible. anyways, we've also got some interesting kind of scaremongering, but also, you know, it's finally coming true, which is Adobe Flash. I think we're finally going to be seeing the end of it. Firefox and Chrome this week did just a little... basically, they're sending a message out. They temporarily disabled Flash, the Flash plugins from their browsers, yeah. and everyone lost their minds. A bunch of people freaked out. I was reading an article where they had comments from Tom Fulp, the head of Newgrounds, and also they talked to the main guy behind the Kongregate, which is another Flash game site. Both of these are Flash animation and game sites. And, you know, it sounds like it's kind of a changing of the guard thing. The main thing people are concerned about isn't that they're not going to be able to create stuff in Flash anymore. It's more preservation of the existing Flash titles.
I can see that being a big issue.
As I understand it, it's fairly easy to move things over to HTML5, but when I say easy, I don't mean not time-consuming, because apparently you do have to redo some of the coding and stuff. I don't know how – I'm not a coder, so I won't say how complicated it is, but I've seen different opinions going in both directions. It seems it's either really easy or not possible, so I don't really know. I know as far as Flash animations go, people are less concerned because you can just convert them to a video file.
Right.
But
you can go and watch all of your favorite Strong Bad emails on YouTube. So.
Exactly. Well, and Kongregate, they said, had already rolled out Unity and HTML5 support, but it's an opt-in type thing because you do have to do some recoding and stuff. So,
okay.
You know, it's... I'm going to be happy to see this incredibly inefficient, you know, every time I load up a Flash game, all my fans come on 100%.
It just
everything slows down. There's
down.
Memory leaks. You know, as much as I love games like Alien Hominid and Binding of Isaac and Castle Crashers, I would almost be okay with not having to deal with Flash anymore. I mean, there are plenty nowadays with the Unity store and a lot of the Steam tools, and there's, you know, UT4, and there's so many easy first tier game development engines. And what I was reading from, I think, I'm not sure if it was Edward McMillan, but it was I thought it was somebody from Team Meat, but they were saying that basically a lot of that stuff has moved to mobile anyways at this point.
Right.
Like, people aren't really the Flash game development scene has been kind of dead for 5-6 years now, yeah. or 4 or 5 at least. And so this isn't the first time I'm sure you've heard that Flash is dying. Probably won't be the last, but it is worth noting that, you know, Flash has always been full of security holes. Adobe's constantly having to patch them, and there's a reason that most modern devices don't either don't support it, or, you know, Internet Explorer does not use Flash in the newest version and Windows 8. So
Android tablets since like the second generation of Android tablets hasn't supported Flash. iOS has never supported Flash.
Exactly. And so, you know, I'll be a little bummed because I definitely came up on Newgrounds and like Flash games big time.
The Pokemon Zombie Shooter. I don't know if you ever played that one.
We were just talking earlier today. I was getting so mad about the success of Rovio only because I used to play, I think it was Crush the Castle, where you would, it's literally Angry Birds.
Yep.
It's a medieval version of Angry Birds that came out about 6 years beforehand, and they just ripped the entire concept wholesale.
It sounds like you'll be excited to know that today
I know,
Angry
that's
Birds
why we
2
were talking
was announced.
About it. I know, that's why we were talking about it, and I was just flying off the handle. I get so upset about that.
After 10 Angry Birds games, we finally have Angry Birds 2.
Why?
They're going to compete with the Skylanders and Disney Infinity.
Is it a Toys to Life game?
Well, so they do have a Toys to Life thing in the works. We're not sure how it ties into 2 yet.
They're only going to have like 5 different birds.
Let's wait till more information comes out because I can already feel my blood pressure rising.
It's going to break lamps. People are going to be throwing birds around.
Ugh. Anyways, so Flash is going to be coming to an end at some point or another in the not too distant future. Everybody be ready. If you use browsers like Chrome or if you have Windows 8.1 or newer, then you don't need to worry about it because your browser takes care of it for you.
And if you're a developer, please find a way to preserve your games.
Yes, please.
Bring them, whether it's to mobile or to Unity or some other platform that's supported with newer devices.
Exactly. Because the main thing for those that are wondering, well, those games aren't going to disappear, are they? No, but they will be completely disabling Flash support because of the huge security holes on most browsers.
Right.
So I'm wondering if maybe they'll get like some kind of, you know, the history browser or something that will support out-of-date plugins but like doesn't have the ability to write to your hard
drive. That used to be
something.
Internet Explorer.
Right. But. Yeah. Well, I've got to say, with a Windows 8.1 on my tablet, I actually use Internet Explorer once in a blue moon.
I use it on Windows 10. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's Edge now.
Yeah, I was going to say, on Windows 10, it's not.
Yeah.
Anyways, though. Yeah, so that's interesting. But yeah, just be aware, guys. So yet more news, it never ends, from Kojima and Konami. Kojima's name has officially and confirmed, and we have pictures now, been removed from the Metal Gear Solid 5 box art, like we told you guys about 2 months ago. Confirmed now, definitely. And everybody's really mad about it again. I know, John, you made a really good point to me. I'm not a huge Metal Gear Solid fan.
Yeah.
But you said, what did you say? It was.
So I said it would be like taking Steven Spielberg's name off of one of his movies.
Sure. And while I don't.
He might want his name off a couple of his movies.
Right. But if you take it like off of Jurassic Park.
Right.
Like it's kind of that same thing. Like this guy, this is his brainchild. He's been working on it since the late 80s on those MSX games. Metal Gear is Kojima, and Kojima is Metal Gear. Like,
right. You
can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
And if you're, I don't know what they think they're going to do.
I think what's going to happen
taking
is
taking his name off of everything.
What they're going to do, I think, is try and go Capcom with it and do like Resident Evil style, like where the games just are terrible spinoffs now.
Sure. Like they say that they want to keep going with Metal Gear, and obviously,
and Silent
from what
Hills,
we've heard,
for the record, I mean, they claim they'll support both.
I mean, Silent Hills is done.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they've officially.
As a series, I mean, I'm sorry, not the one the game that was coming out, but I mean, as a series, they claim they'll support both.
The writing's on the wall right now for Konami. They are stepping away from games in a big way.
They are not going to outright tell us that they're just going to focus on gambling and mobile, but that's what they're doing.
And I can't speak for everyone, but I'm very interested in hearing the backstory with all of this between Kojima and Konami.
Sure. I mean,
we'll never hear it. We will not for another 10, 15 years, probably.
It's probably either a grudge or a power play thing.
But I think it's very odd that you take the director's name off of his game when it's, you know what? If it's off the box, I guess that's fine.
But maybe they're hoping this will be a Metal Gear Solid game that they actually get some return on investment. Like, maybe they're really hoping that this will sell, like, push the sale. It's the last ever, you know,
sure.
game produced by him. And, like, if you want to get the final, real, newest Metal Gear Solid experience.
But they're pretending like he's not even involved anymore.
I mean, sort of. I mean, they took
for the most part.
They took
yeah.
his name off of it, but they're answering questions about it. It's still they're not saying he didn't work on it or anything yeah. like that. I mean, they're not saying he doesn't have input anymore. Or they just said he won't be working on the next title, and they're not going to put his name on the, you know, on this one.
But I wonder what extent they're going to take his name out of the game.
I mean, I don't know. Does his name appear regularly? You think?
I mean, like
be in
usually, like opening credits, or
yeah.
like,
I don't know. You'll have to let me know since yeah. I probably won't be picking it up. But mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure it'll be. Wait, is this one coming to PC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
everything.
Maybe. You know what? I will pick it up. I All definitely right. will because I wanna yank sheep up into the
I
sky.
Think September 15th or 1st. September 1st.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe that's the
that
date.
And Mad Max are that
oh,
day.
It's gonna be an expensive day.
Yeah. yep.
But yeah, so basically, Konami and Kojima are for real splitting,
yep.
And this will definitely be. We also heard this is almost not news, but we also heard from the Japanese Solid Snake that the partnership has dissolved.
Oh yeah, I think like the translation, which might not be completely correct, was saying that Kojima Productions had dissolved, which
yes.
I.
And I don't think that that's accurate necessarily, but at least its affiliation with I don't
yeah.
know. It's probably a,
it was it was a weird
thing or
weird
something.
Translation.
What about the Metal Gear Online? Because was that supposed to be a standalone product, or was that supposed
it's
to be tied
part,
into
it's
the
part
game?
Of
okay, because yep. I haven't heard anything on it since they first briefly mentioned it and showed some gameplay, and then I was worried that maybe they cut it with all the recent.
It'll most likely be there, but it probably won't get much support after
yeah.
the fact.
And also, I'm okay with that because I could not. I hate it when they shoehorn that kind of stuff in.
It didn't look shoehorned. It looked pretty good.
Shoehorning doesn't have to look bad to be shoehorned. It's
or
just
be
they
bad.
Forced it in unnecessarily.
Metal Gear Online was actually pretty fun back on. Was it Metal Gear Solid
Ooh,
3
I don't, I wouldn't know.
That had it like originally?
I don't think so.
It was like a PS2 one.
Oh, then maybe it was. Yep. I played through all of 3 and I didn't even know
it was interesting. Like it was fun enough. To play.
It just doesn't seem like what people are looking for. In
no,
Solid,
absolutely not. But
I'd rather they spent more development time. I want that horse to look awesome.
Just play Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Yep. I want to.
So bad.
I want to.
Exactly.
I want it.
So yeah, that's pretty much it from Konami and Kojima.
So far.
We heard yes, exactly. So
for
far.
Stay tuned for more.
More
Check
of the same
week.
News. Then we've got Deep Silver. This was a huge bummer to me. Deep Silver has dropped Jaeger, who are the main developers working on Dead Island 2, or the main development team. And I'm really bummed about this. This answers the question that a couple people have been asking after E3, going, wasn't Dead Island 2 supposed to be there? And like,
yep.
actually, wasn't that supposed to come out in like Q1 of this year?
Yep.
And like, what's going on with that? And I was telling John earlier, I'm a huge fan of those games. I know that they're not the best games, but I don't know why. I just love them.
Yep.
I really do. I like a first-person fighting game.
They're
and
fun.
Yeah, and it just, to me, it feels right for a zombie game, which is rare to me. I feel like there's so many zombie games out there that don't have the right feel, and it felt the most like, there's a zombie coming at me, and I'm going to just pick up a piece of trash and just whip it at
him.
There's
some weight behind the impact and everything.
I definitely wouldn't say that. I'd say that's its biggest problem is a lack of weightiness, but mechanically, the combat was pretty okay.
Did you play Dying Light?
Yes. I mean, Dying Light is in a different league.
Yeah.
Dying Light is just vastly superior, but I'm really hoping, or I was hoping, and I guess I still am just for a longer time, that Dead Island 2 is going to have elements of parkour, because if it doesn't, it's going to fall flat on its face.
Right.
It needs to compete with Dying Light.
The silver lining in this situation, though, is that Jaeger is now going to focus on its other project that a lot of people are looking forward to, Dreadnought.
Remind me what that is?
It's the massive spaceship free-to-play shooter game.
Oh,
where,
is that the like, 5v5 spaceship
yeah, you,
with
you
the
fly,
class?
Yep, you Different. Fly massive spaceships, and a couple people have fast fighter ships,
that
and,
cool.
you know.
That does look cool. Is that the one that has, like, the sniper ship?
Yeah.
Like, the entire
yeah.
ship's a gun?
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. that looks... That actually, I saw
so
Angry
anime.
Joe playing some of that, and it was pretty yeah. freaking cool. Like, he had, like, a Dreadnought Destroyer or something where he's, like, you know, cut power to forward shields and put 100% power to the weapons array, and then he fires off his entire volley, and it's like...
100 or 200 missiles flying out into space and lasers. I mean, it looks like a Star Trek.
Henry, no offense, this sounds way, way better than them spending time on Dead Island 2.
Hey, I mean, it sounds to me like they chose a poor developer for Dead Island 2.
Sure.
I mean, but then again, Deep Silver didn't do a great job on. Did Deep Silver do the lead development on one and on the first Dead Island?
It wasn't
for sure the second.
Deep Silver is the publisher.
The publisher, sorry. But, well, who did the development on the first one? I can't remember.
I'll let us know.
Anyways, though, you're right. Yes, I would rather see them put more time into that, although I really am not a big sci-fi guy, as I've mentioned. But I'm bummed because I wanted Dead Island 2.
Techland,
yes,
right.
That's right. Yeah, thank you. So, you know, I guess anything is really better than Techland because
they made Dying Light.
Oh, dang.
Yeah,
know what to say then. I don't know what happened with that. Maybe it's Deep Silver that's the issue with these games.
I don't know.
Maybe it's a rushed production schedule or not enough resources.
I think the problem with the original Dead Island was it was just such a massive undertaking in their first kind of...
What's Riptide's excuse?
Oh, Riptide.
It was a different developer.
Can we swear on this?
Techland.
No. I will hold back.
Yeah, Riptide was disappointing. I still played through it. I liked the new I did like the new class because he was like a brawler with bare fists. But
that's
besides that, like, yeah, it was certainly not as good as the first one, which the first one was certainly not all that great. It was just kind of an oddity. I love the terrible, terrible rap, though, and stuff.
Yeah,
hoodoo,
that's always
hoodoo,
good.
Beep. Yeah, it's,
and then that really cool trailer that it had.
Yeah.
Oh, that trailer. Yeah. Man, I tell you what, if they know how to do anything, it's how to make a trailer.
Yep.
Gosh dang. Anyways, that's probably my favorite trailer I've ever seen. But, so speaking of developers making... I don't know how to transition this. They might be making
a new Duke
Nukem
game.
Yeah, we mentioned it earlier. We don't know if... we don't know if for sure it's really happening. We don't know what they mean by they made a prototype.
I'm sure some poor developer will come along and bite.
Yeah, I'm sure. But, you know, we'll see if any producer is actually willing to pay for another one of these games. I mean, I'm sure that they lost a massive amount on Duke Nukem Forever.
You know what? Put Duke as a character in Borderlands. There you go.
Yeah, and then have him get killed like a quarter of the way
sure,
in.
Sure.
You know,
I'm all right with that.
I was looking forward to that, and unfortunately, I pre-ordered it and got it that night at midnight, and... I got home and I was just, oh my God, this game was terrible. And my roommate did the same thing. And he had this really cool Duke Nukem trucker hat. I was like, where did you get that? We got the game at the same store. Apparently, I missed the free Duke Nukem trucker hat handout.
No,
so I didn't even get that.
Right.
I got beyond ripped off.
Yeah, that's rough.
Did you go into it expecting a good game?
I did, but I didn't follow that closely.
Okay.
I kind of like pre-ordered like a week before. I was like, oh, that new Duke Nukem game's coming out. Like, maybe it's going to be awesome. And
better spend my pre-order money unnecessarily.
Yeah. So, college kid.
Pre-ordering it a week before release.
No,
why even bother?
I just wanted to get on it, but yep. So.
I think most of the sales for Duke Nukem Forever were just morbid curiosity,
yeah,
like taking hold, and people had to see what that game was after so many years.
And it became kind of YouTube bait just because it was such an oddity,
right.
Exactly. And I don't know. I kind of feel like, here's the thing, I don't think anyone is – I said this earlier. I don't think anyone is asking for Duke Nukem game.
I don't think so.
If you want the character of Duke Nukem, he's been done better and revitalized already. You can play BJ Blazkowicz. We can play Serious Sam. You can play, you know, Lo Wang from
Shadow Warrior.
Shadow Warrior, thank you. The game that I'm just playing through. And, like, they are way better versions of, like, corny 80s action stars, and they're not incredibly, you know – offensive and reductive, so I'm okay with that. It doesn't make me, you know, embarrassed that I used to like these games when they make a new one.
I think the question mostly is, I wonder if they're going to do something with Duke Nukem, or like, rather than, hey, they should do a new Duke Nukem.
I think that it's time to let Duke fade into obscurity.
Yeah.
I don't think he needs one last, you know, his last, you know, party
his last,
or
his last.
I just can't even come up with a
It's
radio
my last
friendly.
Hurrah.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. But, we may be seeing that. We'll see. Then we had a really – this is an interesting one. We had some allegations that Star Citizen is vaporware from an indie developer who has a long list of games he's developed that I've never heard of any of. Let me just pull this up really quick just because I want to make sure I get the names right here.
Star Universe.
Yeah.
Do you not play that every night?
Yeah, nope. I'm not sure what these are, but basically, this guy, what is his name?
Derek Smart.
Thank you. Derek Smart.
You're welcome.
He's He's trying to claim that the game is vaporware, which basically means that it's an empty promise, it's never going to come to fruition, it's smoke in the wind, that kind of thing. Yep. And he was making all these allegations and saying that they're terrible while he's working on developing a game of his own. Mm-hmm. And I think Star Citizen had quite a great response. They basically just sent him an email saying that he'd violated the Kickstarter terms and they have the right to refund the game to anyone that they want to.
Yep.
So they refunded everything he had, gave him like took away all of his digital merchandise and refunded that to him, and then said, you know, have a nice day.
And it was mainly because they say he was using their game as a platform to push his own game.
Exactly.
Which I think is fair for them to refund his money. That's a polite way for them to say, hey, if you could get off our lawn.
Yeah, actually, I think the exact quote at the end of it was very interesting. In the end, we reserve the right to close an account for any reason. In this case, Derek was causing distress to our staff and our community by generally using Star Citizen and his criticism of the game to attract attention to himself and his game. That completely goes counter to the spirit of the relationship we have with our community, and as such, we don't want him part of it. By the way, we haven't asked him to take down his post or sent him any cease and desist. We haven't asked any other people to remove, edit, or moderate their posts either. Derek is entitled to his opinion. We just don't want him as a backer. And, you know, that's really interesting. And then they had another funny thing where they basically said, don't take this as the idea that you can get a refund if you're really
obnoxious.
Yeah, that's
great. It's like we can still cancel your subscription
without
other
refunding.
Ways. Yep.
Yeah, exactly, because you're not entitled to a final product. But
this does come on the heels of them basically saying their first-person shooter
right.
element is delayed indefinitely.
Which is okay with me, because that was a stretch goal. I think a lot of people are forgetting that Star Citizen met, like, 30 stretch goals, which at least is going
to
double.
It is close to $80 million.
Yeah, they there's so much development to do for that game.
And the main heart of that game is a space flight simulator.
Right.
A la Wing Commander from back in the day. So I think that's the part that they need to get up and running first. They do have some dogfight modules, and you can walk around your ship and get into it and fly it around.
Totally.
Finish that part first. Worry about other portions of that game before you...
Definitely, because that's what most people are going to care about.
Yep.
And beyond that, I think a lot of people have been spoiled, ironically, by bad Kickstarters. I think that a lot of people are used to getting a product sooner than you really realistically could or should, where either the developer was further along in the development than they were hinting at, or they just, quote-unquote, finished the product with a broken product, you know? And, I don't know, we've seen so many games that have come out of early access or come out of Kickstarter not finished that it wouldn't. I think that a lot of people have come to expect things to have just a huge turnover. When you look at series like, you know, Five Nights at Freddy's, where they've had four games release in a year, people don't understand that there's a huge difference in the amount of development time it takes to make a game like that versus a game like. I mean, no one has any. I mean, Star Citizen is like one of the most ambitious game ideas ever conceived, and there's no. It's going to be one of the longest development processes probably. You know, that you've ever seen for that genre.
Absolutely.
And so people should not be expecting it to be I'm guessing 2018
I get why people are being impatient about it, because it's what, when did the Kickstarter go live, like 3-4 years ago?
It was the first major success on Kickstarter.
So I could see how people could be accusing them of the game being vaporware. Because we haven't seen too much from it, but they're giving people enough to play around with.
Yeah, they've shown the hangar demo.
They've shown
their communication is so good, and their development, like what they produce, is so good. Like with the ability to view the ships. If you're gonna make people pay money for these ships, then you have to let, like, the fact that they give them a way to view them and stuff is really necessary if they want that continued funding. I think that's a much better way to do continued funding than another Kickstarter or anything like that, because that would, people would freak out. But I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. They're probably one of the best developers in terms of community communication and keeping people updated on every single status.
They have to be when thousands of people are their investors.
Well, they don't have to, as we've seen on Kickstarter. They're not legally required to.
I think to be successful, though,
Yes, if they ever want to get back on Kickstarter and be like...
They're respecting their consumers.
Though I would hope that after an $8 million Kickstarter really paid for almost all of the production costs of the game, that they are not going to necessarily kickstart their next title. I hope that they're going to make enough off of this that they can... And that's something I'd really like to see, because that's one concern I have as we see more and more AAA developers using Kickstarter to gauge like fan interest and stuff like that, is I think it's important that soon we see a major Kickstarter success say, thanks to Kickstarter, I don't have to ask you to pay me for a game that's not been developed.
Yeah, instead of just going back and...
Yes, because I am increasingly uncomfortable with large corporations and companies that made a massively successful Kickstarter titles going back to Kickstarter for their next titles. It's worrisome.
I'm trying to think of a studio that's released the game through Kickstarter who has not used Kickstarter afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. That's my concern. Kickstarter has gone from really being all about funding 1 to 5 man teams with no backing to now Shenmue.
Because I'm pretty sure there's teams like the guys who made FTL, who probably made quite a bit of money off of that after their Kickstarter. We haven't really heard what they're up to, but
they did a lot of porting and post-launch support, and they had the Advanced Edition or Captain's Edition or whatever, and it's ported to multiple consoles. It's available. Isn't it available for
PC and iOS.
Okay, I thought I had seen. Okay, but point being, that game had a lot of free updates in it too and stuff. So I'll give them that. Although are they working on a new title?
I don't know. That's why I'm saying I'm interested to see which route they take.
Certainly, yeah.
Because they did find success on Kickstarter. They found success on Steam and on iOS from what I've seen. So I'm just looking to see what they come up with next.
Exactly. Definitely. Yep. And one last news story before we wrap things up today. This is just for me because I know that neither of you guys are big WoW players. But, John, a little bit.
I have a couple 80s.
When were you last subbed?
90s, I mean.
90s? Oh, wow, you're way out of date.
Yeah, I played the first couple of weeks of Draenor. And
do you have
then
any hundreds?
Stopped. No. I have 93.
Sure. Do you have a garrison?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah.
I have none of anything. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so they introduced a new big PvP change to World of Warcraft, and this is a change that I think is brilliant and a long time coming. I'm really happy to hear about this. So there's a world PvP. Okay, so the world PvP in World of Warcraft basically is PvP in the open world environment. Normally you go to a battleground to do PvP where it's like in an arena that you fight in.
It's like an instance.
Yeah, capture the flag type zone with a special set. It looks a certain way and all that. Like it's special to each game type.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the island of Ashran in this game where it's open PvP, where there's quests you can do alone, or you can be literally fighting other players, or you can be doing objectives that are helping your team on this island, and they're massive matches. I think those are 100 player matches, but I'm not 100% on this. They might be 80. But they have historically, with its biggest PvP matches, World of Warcraft has had seriously long queue times and really unbalanced unbalanced games, because basically what will happen is one faction will way over queue and the other side will way under queue. So the second the under queued side gets to the bare minimum number of players, they start the match, and then they just the team with less players just gets destroyed. The new system, during periods of long wait times, members of the enemy faction will come to where you queue for battlegrounds, and you can actually queue as a mercenary and play for the other side.
That's awesome.
So basically, what it's going to do is allow you to always be able to get in with fairly reasonable queue times.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I think it's really cool to be able to play as the enemy. It changes what
that's
you look
a,
like, which
really
is a
cool
nice
new
touch.
Dynamic. There.
Yeah. And it should have more balanced matches overall, too, because it should allow you to fill out the unrepresented
and
side.
And I assume you still get honor and stuff like that.
Yes, you get the exact same rewards as you would if you queued on your side. Yeah. I actually wouldn't mind seeing if you could get a once-a-day reward or something
That'd
a little
cool.
special, because you are doing the extra thing, if you will. Yeah. But
this is a fantastic solution to a problem that has existed since vanilla World of Warcraft when they first rolled out Alterac Valley. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited to hear that they're going to be adjusting queue times, and apologies to all of you out there who do not play World of Warcraft. That's your wow news moment for the week.
We appreciate
lots
it.
Lots of Blizzard talk today.
Yeah, definitely. Well, anyways, though, thanks so much for joining us, guys. This has been 105 The Ticket's video game podcast from Cold Omaha. We hope you've enjoyed listening to the show, and you can check us out on iTunes and 105theticket.com. Please leave a review or like it if you're a big fan. Let your friends know, and as always, game on.